The chapter we've been talking about this month, we've been taking apart piece by piece each week, is a small section of 1 Thessalonians 5. And the whole section is, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And this week, we're looking at, focusing in on, pray without ceasing. Some translations will say, always pray. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to look at what does that mean to pray without ceasing, to constantly be in prayer. Now, a long time ago, I had an English professor named Bronco Reader. You never knew where he was going to turn up. You could be in Athens at an indie art exhibit and he'd be there. One time me and my friends were at a folk punk concert in Greenville and he came up and says, hey, these guys are pretty good, aren't they? So you never knew where he was going to pop up. But he had one class that was popular called, I think the technical term was like English, a bunch of numbers, and it was literature and insanity, but people referred to it as the class that flew over the cuckoo's nest. And he looked at different books and things like emotional breakdowns in literature, because, you know, there's always a good character has a breakdown. And one of the authors we looked at was J.D. Salinger. He's a famous recluse. He wrote Catcher in the Rye. But one of the story that I chose to write on was Franny and Zoe. And in that, Zoe, they were from a very unusual family. Genius kids that went on the radio show, a trivia show. And she found a book that her older brother who had passed away had. And she started reading. It was called The Way of the Pilgrim. And in it, a Russian pilgrim goes around teaching people to say the Jesus prayer, and he tells them to pray without ceasing. They're supposed to say, you know, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And they're supposed to say this constantly, over and over, while fasting, you know, until it's part of their heartbeat, he said. And so, in her brokenness and in her sadness, with like her looking at her late brother's books, she decided to try this. And eventually her other brother had to snap her out of it, because after a few days, she'd already like washed out of college, went home, and was not eating, not talking, because she was constantly trying to say this prayer. And he says that he told her, you're not having a religious experience, you're having a mental breakdown. Just eat some of your mom's chicken soup, because that is holy. There, if you want to see God, go sit at your mom's table and eat dinner. And so I think that that's one person that looked at this idea of praying without ceasing. And I don't think that's what it means to just constantly broken record in your head saying the same thing over and over and over. And that's not what prayer without ceasing is. Now, what is it though? I think that some translations, when I have chapel service that may not be mattering, sometimes I'll find contemporary, they love the King James Bible, which we use here today, but some of the epistles, some of the letters are hard to understand. Even Peter says that. And he says, you know, I heard you've been reading Paul. He's difficult to understand. And so I'll include like modern paraphrases, ideas or translations that break down the ideas instead of just the words. And in one of those, some of the ideas that start coming out, images start coming out, instead of pray without ceasing, it says to live a life of prayer. Now it says to live covered in prayer. And you have noticed when you came up for communion, I had this old Jewish prayer shawl I had up here on the communion table. And when they prayed, they would cover their heads with it. But rabbis and Pharisees always wore it over their shoulders when they were out. Some people even think that this is the type of garment that Jesus was wearing when the woman wanted to touch the hem of his garment. She wanted to touch the strings that were attached to the hem. But they wore it to remind them that they should always be covered in prayer and that they should pray without ceasing. Because you remember Paul that wrote this, he was a Pharisee, so he would have worn this also. And he would have been had that reminder that we're living in a life of prayer constantly. It's part of his daily wardrobe. He'd have this reminder that you're supposed to live a life of prayer. Now, prayer, I've heard some people say that, oh, he prays for 3 hours straight every morning. I've heard that in some old biographies, but how long does good prayers have to be? Charles Spurgeon, who was called the Prince of Preachers, famous preacher in the 1800s, he said that length is the improper scale to measure prayer. Prayers of faith to our Lord from our heart are best measured in weight. That's what Spurgeon said. He says, how weighty are our prayers? Jesus, 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 I need your help. That could carry a greater weight than a 2-hour prayer filled with beautiful prose and words that could be mistaken for poetry. Mm-hmm. Just that groaning, one of the things the Bible says is that groaning out that happens in prayer could be over, it could be overshadowed. Those long flowing poetic prayers could be overshadowed by just that simple groaning. I need your help, Jesus. And Jesus, he even told a story about this to the people that were following around. He said that a Pharisee, a self-righteous Pharisee, and a publican or a tax collector, they went into the temple. And the Pharisee went to one of the most important parts. He would come up here, sit on the front row next to the altar, and stand up and say his prayers. And he had this long list of oh Lord, thank you for making me a righteous man. Thank you for making me so good. I am so blessed because of the things I do. And he would go on this long list of these self-righteous prayers. And he even said, thank you for making me a good person, not like this tax collector is looked down on. And a tax collector, he may have been sitting off to the side in the back. He didn't want to lift up his head. He would be sitting way back in the corner, and his eyes would be cast down because he didn't even want to look towards heaven. He didn't even want to look towards the altar. And he would just say, dear God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And Jesus turned to everybody, and he said, only one of these men had their prayer answered. And people were thinking that, well, it was obviously the preacher, the Pharisee, the man that everybody looked to for spiritual guidance. And he said, nope, the tax collector is the only one that left that, went home clean that day. He's the only one whose prayer was heard by God and was answered. And so the long flowing prayers and speeches, they don't mean as much if they don't come from the heart. It's like Spurgeon said, it's the weight of prayer that matters, not the length of prayer. Also, when we look at heartfelt, sincere prayer, some people start to argue like, well, should we have spontaneous prayer just off the top of our head? Or what about prayer that comes from books or prayers that appear in the Bible? And often with my group at Magnolia Manor, I'll use the Book of Common Prayer. And it's because there's a Anglican teacher, and she She was a spiritual writer. Her name is Tish Harrison Warren. A few years ago, she wrote this book about prayers in the night. And she said that on the night that she had a miscarriage, it was like one of the worst nights of her life. And she was so hurt and so broken, she couldn't put all that in the words, her own words. She couldn't say what she felt, but she asked her husband to bring them their prayer book and help her pray. And so they prayed these words that believers that have been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, those believers for hundreds of years have been praying these prayers. Like one by St. John Chrysostom that says, "Grant your mercy and loving kindness to us all, Lord. And grant that we may praise and glorify your great and glorious name with one mouth and one heart, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen." And so she would look to the words and prayers of all the Christians that came before her and rely on them, standing on the shoulders of giants, being lifted up by believers that have been long gone. Just like how Moses' arms were lifted up when he couldn't hold them anymore. His helpers, his friends, they lifted up his arms for him. And so she was lifted up by their prayers. And until she could say what she meant, she relied on their prayers. So we see prayer without ceasing isn't just repeating the same words over and over ad nauseum. Mm-hmm. And it isn't about the length of the prayer, but about the depth of feeling, the feeling of weight. And it can be off the top of your head. It could be you're driving down the road talking to Jesus, or it could be one of those days where you're saying that all the only thing that can come to mind is, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." And just saying those old prayers we were taught in Sunday school to memorize. And so, God is the sovereign Lord of the universe. I mean, his throne reigns over everything. He rules and reigns over everything. So when we pray, it should be, we should live under the prayer, under that cover of prayer. Everything in our life should be under that. Our business and finances, and our health, our relationships, our family, our community, our church, our nation, all of this falls under that cover of that prayer shawl, because God is the ruler and reigner of the universe. There's nothing in life that he's not king of. If Jesus is the King of Kings, that means he's the king of everything, right? Amen. And so he would be the king of every part of your life. And so we need to prayerfully consider all of those things. With all that in mind, now, I'm going to take a look at, we talked about what prayer without ceasing isn't. Now, with all that in mind, I want to look at what a biblical example of prayer. Now, I was thinking it was only a few years ago, but when I actually looked at the imprint date on the book, it was 20 years ago. I was like, oh, yeah, this just came out a little while ago, but it was 20 years ago. There was a famous book on prayer that came out of prayers in the Old Testament, called Prayer of Jabez. And the Prayer of Jabez takes place, if you want to turn in your Bible, to 1 Chronicles 4:9-10, and that's in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles, not 1 Corinthians. Yeah, and so to give you a little bit of background, Jabez, he was from the tribe of Judah. And as we remember from our scavenger hunt, Judah was the royal tribe, right? It's the tribe of kings, the royal tribe. And, but Jabez, he wasn't a king. He wasn't a big famous king sitting on the throne. That's just his family. But the book of Chronicles lays down the history of all these great kings and military leaders. And Jabez, He wasn't a great military leader either. He wasn't a great king. He wasn't a great military leader. He didn't outsmart the Amorites or lead a small band in against the giant army of Philistines. He didn't do any of that. He didn't have these like wise proclamations from the throne where he would take on the king of Babylon. He didn't do that either. He wasn't either of those things. He wasn't the king or the warrior, or he wasn't the military warrior. But verse number 9 says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow." Verse 10, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, and that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." And so, Jabez, he wasn't the warrior, he wasn't the king, but he was a prayer warrior. It says here that he's written down in history, this is probably almost hundreds of years before Jesus' earthly ministry. And we still know his name because he was an honorable man that prayed. He was an honorable man that prayed. And that's why we remember him today. And so we were going to look at his prayer. And there's like three parts to this prayer that we're going to look at. And the first one is, Jabez called upon the God of Israel saying, oh, that you would bless me. Now, God is the author of all blessings. He's the good father, remember, that he wants to give to his people, to his children, what's good. Jesus even said that even humans, even people that are bad and have deceitful hearts and sin, even they want to give a good present to their kids. Even they wouldn't turn away their kid when they're hungry and they came and asked for something to eat. You know, if they came and asked for a piece of fish, they wouldn't give them a snake. That's what Jesus said. So he's saying that like God, this good Father, is will all blessings come from him. All good things come from him.
Amen.
And our Heavenly Father is the sovereign ruler of the universe, as we said. So there's nothing that doesn't rule, that he doesn't rule or reign over. And so that's what Jabez did. I said how we need to go to God in prayer over everything in our life. Over our health, over finances, relationships, and he went and asked for blessings over it all, because God is in charge of it all. And James, this is a sticky point. James, some people are going to argue with, God is all-knowing and all-powerful, and he's a sovereign king. Why do we need to pray? They'll say that, well, if he already knows everything and he knows what he's going to do, then we don't need to pray. But that doesn't take into account the fact that God is also relational, that he is that Father. And the book of James tells us that if we have not because we ask not, is what it says. It says that God is willing to do more for us than we're willing to ask for. And that kind of leads to the second part we're going to look at, where he says, enlarge my border. He says, enlarge my coast, or enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me. And the border, that's his territory, his area. That's his land, his property, the things he has. I put it all under his control, the coast, the border. He says, enlarge what I have, and that your hand might be with me. And this was a part asking for prosperity and guidance. And prosperity has become a dirty word in some Christian circles, mm-hmm. because people will misuse it. People will try to turn God into this divine slot machine where if they put in their silver coin and pull the crank, when the wheels stop spinning, they'll get a big payoff from heaven. And the window of heaven open up and coins aplenty will fall down on them. It's how they see it, because they see it that way. But God wants to give us blessings, but He's not going to be strong-armed or tricked into giving us blessings. There was a story of the vine dressers, and that, at the end of the day, when people were complaining about how much they got paid, or some people got paid more than them, the Lord of the vineyard, in Jesus' story, He says that, "This is mine, I can do with it what I want." So you're not going to force His hand into giving a blessing, but you can humbly ask for His blessing. You're not going to force His hand into like making you prosperous by doing a special ritual, because that's not prayer, that's witchcraft. Mm-hmm. Witchcraft is doing a special ritual with a promise, a payout. But that's prayer, is honoring God and asking your Heavenly Father for a gift. And it's His will. Thy will be done. It's His will whether or not what's best for you will be given to you. But He says some things, there's leeway in His like the decree. So there's some things that if you ask for them, He'll give you. And there's some things that, you know, He will bless you with no matter what. And so that's one of the things we can look at in the prayer of Jabez, is that we're looking for that guidance and those gifts. And it's not because of the payout. It's because of who God is. And then He says, "Keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain." Now, God granted this to Jabez, but He doesn't necessarily grant us to all of us. He says, Jabez, He'll keep him from harm, and he won't be in pain, but that's just to Jabez, this promise goes. But He does give us reminder through Scripture that we need to not worry about the things that can hurt this body or that can take away this life. Because God is in charge. He's the one who controls what happens to our eternal soul. He is the one that's in charge of what happens to this body on the day of resurrection when He gives us a new one.
That's right.
And so, like, even though Jabez will make this promise, that doesn't necessarily mean you will have this promise. Because, as we said, God is personal, right? He has an individual relationship with each one of us. So, even if we're scarred and burned and injured, healed, and our body's destroyed and turned to ashes, remember what Job said. He said, "Even if worms eat this body, I know on that last day I'm going to see my Redeemer face to face." He gives us that promise that on that last day He was going to take care of us, though. We don't have anything to worry about. We will have His glorified bodies. So eventually we will have that also, even if we don't have it in this life. Now, this we talked about today is not a definitive guide to prayer. This isn't everything you need to know about prayer. And I would probably need at least a month to start breaking into that, but I only got you guys for 1 week, right? And so I want to start with this. But I say, when you're looking for that cover of prayer, you can use Jabez's prayer as a model of how you pray, not just for yourself, but also how you pray for your family. Ask for your family to be increased. Ask for them, they won't have pain or harm. for your community's prosperity. I ask for the prosperity of your community. I ask for church growth. Mm-hmm. I ask for your neighbor's health. Mm-hmm. And also give thanks for all the prayers that are answered. Because, like, if it was anyone else, you would write a thank you note, right? And so keep record of this. And sometimes we forget when prayers are answered. So it's important that we start keeping a record of the things we ask for and when and who we're praying for. Because I know I will stick the bullet in my Bible, and sometimes I forget to go back and look at it. And I'm like, oh no, it's been, the week's almost over. And you know, I haven't even prayed for these people yet. God, the sovereign King of the universe, has like bestowed on me the honor that he will listen to the things I ask for. And I don't ask for anything. And I don't go to him and ask, well, my friends need help. Or, you know, my community needs help. So we need to make sure that we set time apart, commune with him in that relational aspect, because he is our Heavenly Father. And like a good father, he loves us and wants to give us blessings. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen.